This divine grace is bhakti vedanta shami shila bhupad jaya jaya om vishnupad param hamsa palibrad kacharja ashtotara shatya sri srima shila bhakti siddhanta saraswati thakur tira bhakti tiki jaya itai goha premanandi all glories to the assembled bhaktis all glories to the assembled bhaktis all glories to the assembled bhaktis all glories to Sri Guru and Guru Hare Krishna. What I'd like to do this morning is speak a little about the life teachings, mood, and mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as it has impacted and shaped the life teachings, mood, and mission of our founder, Acharya. Srila Prabhupada. So to do that, I've got a few sources I'd like to reference. The first is Saraswati Thakur's own pranam mantras, which we know from the song book. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Kinamane. Wait a minute. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the divine grace. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at his lotus feet. Sri Varsha Bhanadi Devi Dayataya Kripa Daye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Varsha Bhanadi Devi Dayata Das, another name of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who was favored by Srimati Radharani, and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the science of Krishna. Madhuryodvala premadhyaya Sri Rupa Anuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, who delivers devotional service enriched with conjugal love of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelation of Sri Rupa Goswami. Namaste Gauravani Sri Murte Dinatarine Rupa Anugaviruddhapa Siddhanta Bhanta Harine. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So if we were listening to that, you get an idea of who this Raya Vishnu personality is. And we get more of an idea, of course, from our own Founder Acharya, the more foundational spiritual master in ISKCON, our Srila Prabhupada, who, when I was listening to tapes, Srila Prabhupada actually spoke about Siddhanta Saraswati's appearance and disappearance quite a few times, whenever it came around, actually. I'd like to reference today, specifically, Srila Prabhupada's December 13th, 1973, Tirobhav talk in Los Angeles, and then also look at things about his Anchalila, his closing days, from the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, mostly drawn from Srila Prabhupada's own words on tapes, that when we were helping Satsarupa Maharaj compile the Lilamrita, we just pieced together our own Founder Acharya's words, and we got a pretty good picture of what was going on in his last days. And then I'd like to draw some lessons, some conclusions. three tables in an upright position, seatbelt fastened, all electronic devices, please switch off. Okay, you got that? Back to that. So in that December 13th, 1973 talk, it's the one that's very emotional at the end, where Prabhupada just breaks down and he says, so you're all representatives of my Guru Maharaj, so I have to thank you for helping me. And then he says, because you are helping me, I have to thank you very much. It's so moving. So in that talk, he started very strong, you know, and very composed. But as the talk went on, there were serious gaps in his talk, and you could tell he was really remembering his Guru Maharaj with a lot of viraha, separation. Srila Prabhupada began by talking about how prakat, aprakat, appearance and disappearance, they're really not different. Just like now the sun is rising in Sridhar Mayapur and it's setting somewhere else, according to our vision, the sun is always there. And then Srila Prabhupada said, so similarly, there's nothing to lament, because actually, not only Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but all of us are eternal. We don't cease to be, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, when we disappear from each other's vision. It's not that we poof, you know, nirvana, out like a candle, no more, Buddhist thing. So Srila Prabhupada said, so there's nothing really to lament. And then Prabhupada said, but still, we feel separation. And then he went into why. And Srila Prabhupada started giving a whole history lesson, a transcendental history lesson of why we feel separation from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, beginning with Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada said, because Lord Chaitanya, he predicted, as recorded in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Pritiviti Achayaka Nagarani Gram, Sarvatra Prachara Aibe Morana, in every town and village, my name will be sung and heard. He predicted that. And then he left it, and he only actually wrote down, as we hear from Srila Prabhupada, 8 verses, the Shikshastra, which is how Kaviraj Goswami chooses to end his Chaitanya Chaitamrita with his commentary of Shikshastra. So how important are those verses? But Lord Chaitanya, he left it to his chief disciples, the 6 Goswamis, to actually articulate his teachings, and in terms of rasa and tattva, and just elaborate on them amazingly, as we hear Srila Prabhupada say on one take, their elaborations, the exposition of this philosophy is the most exacting and extensive spiritual philosophy anywhere in the world. And then Srila Prabhupada said, but the Goswamis, they wrote down these books, but they didn't actually start the preaching mission, except toward the end of the youngest Goswamis, of those 6 Goswamis' days. Srila Jiva Goswami, he actually organized the first book marathon, book distribution marathon. We read about him deputing Shamananda Prabhu and Srinivasacharya and Nirottam Das Thakur to take all these works of the Goswamis out and start distributing the teachings, and then the whole intrigue about what happened after that. And then by Lord Chaitanya's inscrutable will, you know, within 100 years or so after his, or 150 years after his disappearance, his whole movement, his whole bhakti renaissance, which ignited Bharat Varsh with a renaissance in Krishna consciousness, it became eclipsed. It became covered by so many pseudo-Vaishnav sects, Aul, Baul, Saki Beki, Gauranga Nagari, Siddha Pranay, you know, all these groups. And it wasn't until the 19th century that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's father came along and practically single-handedly revived the pure teachings of bhakti, which had fallen into such ill repute that no self-respecting, especially person in Bengal, would be caught dead, you know, practicing bhakti, because it was considered to be just a debauched, pseudo-spiritual path, which it had become. It had become eclipsed by all these, you know, false imitation groups. So the Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, or Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he not only single-handedly exposed those groups for what they were, he revived the pure teachings. He wrote 100 books in English, Bengali, Sanskrit, and Hindi. And then he started reaching out to the West, to the other hemisphere, with those teachings. As we know, he sent the first, you know, pure Vaishnava book, Sri Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts, to McGill University, other places too. And he had correspondence with transcendentalists, including the American transcendentalists Ralph Waldo Emerson. Why was he doing this? Because the Thakur was envisioning now. He was envisioning that this is not just, you know, for one part of the world or one group. This is for the whole world. This is transcendental religion. This is Bhagavad religion, this is Bhagavad Dharma. So he started envisioning a whole movement based on Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And he started envisioning, you know, all the way from Namahat groups to a governing body to make it all, to coordinate it all. Because the Thakur knew in his infinite wisdom and vision that this is not going to be the work of one guru and his disciples. It's going to take a collective, coordinated, cooperative, global effort to do this. And we need to supervise it with a governing body. So he had that vision. But he knew that he couldn't really, you know, he revived the teachings, but his time was running out. He couldn't really do it. So he prayed, as we know, for a ray of Vishnu to come and actually start this movement. So he got his wish, as we know, in the shape of his fifth son, Bhima Prasad Dutt. 1874 he appeared in Puri, that holy place, my Lord and Master Prabhupada wrote His Divine Grace. And so, so it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who first began to actually manifest the prophecy that in every town and village my holy name will be sung. By, first of all, starting it in Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna's own neighborhood, so to speak, on the subcontinent of what we now call India. But to do this, first of all, we hear how he performed this great tapas right in Mayapur, this vow, this rut to chant a billion names for 9 years, you know, day and night. And we see the picture, there's even this picture of Saraswati Thakur under them in his hut. And he didn't even bother to fix the roof during the rainy season. So he's there chanting his nam with an umbrella over his head. So he's really detached. And then his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, disappeared in 1914. And then the next year, his own Diksha Guru, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, disappeared. And then in 1918, now if you're a ray of Vishnu, you can do this. He sat down in front of a picture of his Guru Maharaj and took sannyas from the picture. And that was the day that he also started Gaudiya Mutt, Gaudiya Mission, which from 1918 to 1936 began to actually manifest Krishna consciousness all over again in India. And then Saraswati Thakur was determined to take it beyond India, as envisioned by his father and Lord Chaitanya, to take it beyond the borders of Bharatvarsh and go to Europe. So we know that he sent preachers in 1934, first of all, England, Germany, without a whole lot of success, but this was unprecedented. This was the first time that pure Vaishnava teachings had left the subcontinent of India. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, in those 18 years, he founded 64 Gaudiya Mutts, according to His Holiness Bhakti Dukash Maharaj and his wonderfully researched Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. He initiated over 60,000 disciples, and he was definitely manifesting Gaurashakti, Gaurashakti Surupaya, the potency, the empowerment given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now in 1922, when our founder Acharya, our Srila Prabhupada, first met Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, as we know, practically before he and his friend Narendranath Mulak, who Prabhupada said, he dragged me to this meeting, because I didn't want to go, because I had gotten a bad impression of sadhus from coming to my father's house. And they were not really sadhus, they were just taking japatis and, you know, not even following principles, some of them. So before our Prabhupada, the person who was to become our Prabhupada, had even risen from obeisances, Sarasvati Thakur said to them what he was saying actually to all educated, especially young Indian men, that you're educated young man, why don't you preach Lord Chaitanya's message in the Western countries? And sometimes he would say in English, like that. So, after the famous exchange, that Prabhupada told us he had with his Guru Maharaj, who will hear Lord Chaitanya's message? We are a captive nation, nobody listens to a dependent nation, now nobody listens to a loser. Right? And so the Thakur said, no, Krishna consciousness is too important. It's such an emergency. We need this all over the world immediately. We can't wait for a change in politics. So, as we know, our Prabhupada said, so he defeated me. I was very happy that he defeated me. And then Naren asked him on the way out, so what do you think? Because all of Abhay Babu's friends, all of our Prabhupada's friends, they've heard about this saint. But Prabhupada said, somehow I was the leader of the group. I was always the leader. And you hear the devotees say, Jai! Was on the tape. And they wanted my opinion of this saintly person. Unless, Prabhupada said, unless I certified him that he's good, he's genuine, they wouldn't, you know, pursue their interest in the Thakur. And so Prabhupada said, oh, he's wonderful. Wonderful. Now I can see Lord Chaitanya's message is in the hands of the proper person, saintly person. So, that was in 1922, and as we heard Prabhupada say on the recording, so I accepted him immediately. Not officially, but in my heart. I accepted him as my spiritual master immediately. It was 11 years later, in Allahabad, Prayag, that he actually took Diksha. Because Prabhupada was already married, he married in 1918, Prabhupada said, I got my first child in 1921, so he had a boy and a child. He was already working, you know, for Dr. Kartik Chandra Bose's pharmaceutical business. It wasn't until 1928, Prabhupada said, but in 23 he left Calcutta to open up his own business, being very enterprising. In Prayag, the Prayag Pharmacy. And then the Gaudiya Mutt people came again on the advice of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. You go there. There's a very nice Gaudiya Vaishnava who can help you start a center there. So Prabhupada said, oh, so these Gaudiya Mutt people, they've come again. Yes, I must help them. Their leader is such a nice, stately person. I want to be connected there. So he did. He helped them open the Prayag Center. So, in 1933, actually in 1930, interesting thing, for the first time for the first time appeared that interesting English-Sanskrit fusion phrase, Founder Acharya.
understanding it a little touch of this. If you want the full story of us, please come to the Founder of Chariot Seminar in March. And it appeared in the Harmonist, the English language reincarnation of Sajjana Toshin that Bhaktivinoda Thakur started. So it referred to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as the president of Acharya and also the founder of Acharya. Founder, someone who establishes something. Acharya, there's a spiritual dimension, somebody who is the exemplar, the greatest example of the teachings of the institution. And then the phrase appeared again, 1933, after Siddhanta Saraswati had commissioned his scholarly disciple, Professor Nishikant Sanyal, to write a trilogy, actually. Only two books came out, because Sanyal had problems after the second book came out. You find in the table of contents, you find Founder Acharya again. And the original, what Sanyal called the prehistoric teachers, the Adi Gurus of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, are connected and identified with their super powerful representatives in our Kali Yuga, the Founder Acharyas, he called them, of Brahma Sampradaya became Madhva, Lakshmi, Ramanuja, Shiva, Vishnu Swami, the Kumaras, and Bharata. So that's where that phrase comes from. And again, for the full story, you can come to the seminar. So Siddhanta Saraswati himself edited that book, Sri Chaitanya's Teachings. So we know the whole connection is authentic and bona fide and explicit. Anyway, fast forward to 1935, because now we're coming really to the final years of Siddhanta Saraswati's life and mission. And in that year, in February 35, now less than 2 years before the wind-up of his Leela, which is interestingly happening, this is January 1st, 2013, so in January 1st, 1937, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually left this world. So this is actually the same solar day. Okay. So in 1935, February, we have Srila Prabhupada receiving a very sweet blessing from his Guru Maharaj. And that year, Srila Prabhupada, as we know, he delivered this amazing address called the Universal Teacher, which is sometimes printed in our Vyasapuja books and sometimes not. Over the years. It's our Srila Prabhupada addressing the members of the Gaudiya of the Bombay Gaudiya Math about the stature of their founder Acharya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But even more touching to Siddhanta Saraswati was the poem Prabhupada wrote. Just happen to have it right here. Glorifying his spiritual master, which when Srila Prabhupada, when he was launching ISKCON, he thought that poem was lost, and then Gurudas found it in the Royal Asiatic Society in London in 1969. But here's the poem. Adore, adore ye all, the happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May, when he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, His Divine Grace. O my Master, the Evangelic Angel, give us thy light up thy candle, struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope, His Divine Grace. Misled we are, all going astray, save us, Lord, our fervent prayer. Wonder thy ways to turn our face, adore thy feet, Your Divine Grace. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, pain most heavy, the illusion's toll. Darkness around, all untraced, the only hope, His Divine Grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a healthful life, as Chaitanya wrought. Unknown to all, it's full of grace, that's your gift, Your Divine Grace. And then the stanza that really caught Saraswati Thakur's ear. Absolute, is sentient, thou hast proved. In personal calamity, thou hast moved. This gives us the life, anew and afresh. Worship thy feet through divine grace. Had you not come, who had told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold? That's your right. You have the mace. Save me, a fallen, your divine grace. The line of service, as drawn by you, is pleasing and healthy, like morning dew. The oldest of all, but in new dress. Miracle done, your divine grace. So, when Saraswati Thakur heard that, I'll just read from the Lilamrita. What happened? The poem reached Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and it gave him pleasure. One stanza specifically made Srila Bhaktisiddhanta so happy that he made a point of showing it to all of his guests, just like Prabhupada would do. Sometimes guests would come and he would show them what his disciples were doing all over the world, and he would kind of brag about it. And again, absolute ascension, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. So when Gurudas brought that poem to Srila Prabhupada, oh, I thought it was lost. And Prabhupada read it. And then Prabhupada edited the poem. He changed his own poem. He changed moved to removed. Because by then his English was a little more refined. So the book changes started right then. Somehow, in this simple couplet, Abhay had captured the essence of his spiritual master's preaching against the Mayavadis, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took it as an indication of how well Abhay knew the mind of his Gurudev. Abhay was delighted when he heard that the couplet was pleasing to his spiritual master. One of Abhay's godbrothers compared this verse by Abhay to a verse in which Rupa Goswami had expressed the inner thinking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it thus moved him to ecstasy. Amazing comparison. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also found the essay pleasing, and he showed it to some of his confidential devotees. This is the essay that Prabhupada read for the Gaudiya Math at Bombay. And then, listen to this. This is the sweetest thing to me. He instructed the editor of The Harmonist, who was the scholar disciple, Professor Nishikant Sanyal, who was initiated as Narayan Das, Bhakti Sudhakar Narayan Das. He instructed his editor, whatever he writes, publish it. That's heavy. That's carte blanche. There it is right there. There's the empowerment. Whatever this person writes, publish it. Now, we have another sweet blessing. In July 1935, this is really sweet. In July 1935, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came to install the deity of Lord Krishna and to institute deity worship at the Bombay Center. He was pleased with what his disciples had done so far, and Bhakti Saranga Maharaj admitted that much of the work was due to Abhay Babu. As Prabhupada being an enterprising businessman, we know Prabhupada's strategy. He said, I want to become a rich man. Okay, I have a family, I have a wife and children, so I can't just run away and join the mud, but I'll become rich. And with my wealth, I'll spread Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada told us, but Krishna sent me to you, a pauper. That was Krishna's plan. And then he made Prabhupada spiritually rich by sending him so many disciples, and he could stay anywhere in the world to show the example of what full surrender was by being so surrendered that he slept just a few hours and he'd get up in the middle of the night and write the books. Okay. So Bhakti Sarangi admitted that the success of this opening was due to Abhay Babu, who had collected funds and established the new center. And then Bhakti Saranga Maharaj said this, and we get this from Prabhupada. Why is Abhay living separately? Bhakti Saranga asked. He should be president of this Bombay center. He was trying to, you know, draft him, get him away from his family. And just, you know. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati replied, "It is better that he is living outside your company. He will do. When the time comes, he will do everything himself. You don't have to recommend him." There it is. The three colors, yeah, Raya Vishnu, Shakti Veshavatar, Bhakti. He knows what's coming. Kabai had not been present when this was spoken, but his godbrothers told him what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had said. These words of the spiritual master, with their mysteriously prophetic air, were important to Abai. He treasured the words within himself and meditated upon their meaning. So those are the two sweet blessings. You know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was really pleased with what Prabhupada had written and spoken, and then he also was very pleased, even more pleased with the poem, because he felt especially that stanza had captured the essence of his mission. Now, there's one more blessing in this year, 1935, that's very heavy. It's a very grave blessing. And here it is. So that's November. And it's the month of Kartik. And it's Radha Kund. And if you've read the Lilamrita, you see the painting, the way Prabhupada described it. He was in Radha Kund with his son, and he was taking part as much as he could, Braj Mandal Parikram, with the Gaudiya Math people. But Srila Prabhupada said, "I noticed that my spiritual master, he was in a very grave mood, and even he appeared to be disturbed." So, it says, in the Lilamrita, the way the scene is painted, "There had been some quarreling amongst his leading disciples in Calcutta," he said. This is what he's telling Srila Prabhupada. "And this distressed him very much. Even now, in Vrindavan, it weighed heavily on his mind. Some of his disciples had been fighting over who would use various rooms and facilities at the Gaudiya Math headquarters in Calcutta." Sound familiar? Hey, don't we suffer from these things too? "Who would use the various rooms and facilities at the Gaudiya Math headquarters in Calcutta?" When we get into this heavy history stuff, I find that the safest attitude and mood for me to have when I'm reading this is that, you know, I was probably part of the problem, you know. I might have been one of those divisive people, and because it gets heavy, so here it goes. "And now I'm, you know, Chris has given me another chance to help Siddhanta Saraswati's foremost disciple, Srila Prabhupada, to get it right." When Srila Prabhupada was, you know, telling us this history, he was telling it for our, he didn't want us to repeat the same mistakes. And he would tell us, "It's not your business to criticize my godbrothers and get on their case or mock them or whatever, to criticize. But learn these lessons, learn the lessons, get it right." So here's what happened. So these devotees were all members of the same mutt, and the building was for propagating Krishna consciousness under the leadership of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Yet even in their spiritual master's presence, they were quarreling. Brahmanas and Vaishnavas were supposed to be free from envy of any creature. What to speak of envy of one another? If they were to fight now, what would they do after their spiritual master passed away? Abhai had no part in these matters and did not even know the details or who was involved. But as he listened to his spiritual master, he also became distressed. Deeply concerned, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said to Abhai, "Agunj Malbe, there will be fire. One day there would be fire in the Calcutta Gaudiya Math, and that fire of party interests would spread and destroy." Abhai heard but did not know what to make of it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had fought so long and boldly to establish that anyone of any birth could be elevated to become a Brahmin, a sannyasi, or a Vaishnava. But if his followers became contaminated by a little wealth and the desire for prestige, thereby showing themselves to be still low-class men despite their training and purification, then his mission would be disrupted. If in the name of religion they became attached to ease, position, and prestige, this is what we have to guard against, right? It could only mean that they had failed to grasp the teachings of their spiritual master. And here's a direct quote from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he was lamenting that these men are simply after the stones and bricks of the building. He condemned. He was very, very sorry. Quote, when we were living in a rented house, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, if we could collect 200 or 300 rupees, we were living very nicely at Alta Ganga. That's where Prabhupada met his Guru Maharaj, at Alta Ganga in Calcutta. We were happier than books. Standing by Radhakund and beholding his spiritual master, Abhai felt the words deeply enter his own life. If you ever get money, print books. And Srila Prabhupada later would tell us, so I'm following my spiritual master blindly. Blindly means with eyes wide open. Through Guru Sadhu Shastra, it doesn't mean foolishly. I'm following my spiritual master blindly in this connection. I'm simply saying, print book, distribute book. Therefore I am practically whipping you, he would tell us. I'm whipping you. Double it, distribute book. And then in Prabhupada's infinite genius, right at the crest of the first wave of big book distribution, he dropped the Varnashram bomb. Now they've got to make this sustainable. The whole world's suffering. They can't understand these books. They're in a chaotic condition. We have to show them a better way to live. Until we show them a better way to live, they won't take these books seriously. We can distribute these books so we're blue in the face. We have to show an alternative culture, a whole alternative world of Krishna consciousness. So books are the basis, but they're not the last word. Okay, print books, distribute books. Now, let's see. Okay, so let's go to the very end of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's lead. It's December 1936. We have all this from Prabhupada on tapes that we cut and pasted together. And out of Sattva Maharaj's pen came very nice prose. December 1936. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was in poor health at Jagannath Puri. Abhai was in Bombay, and he wanted to write his Guru Maharaj a letter. Quote, he is a little kind upon me, Abhai thought. He will understand my request, and he began to write, dear Guru Maharaj, here in the tape, Prabhupada said, oh no, that's later. So he said, my dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. You have got many disciples, and I am one of them. Siddhanta Saraswati had changed his name to Abhaya Charanaravinda Das. You have got many disciples, and I am one of them, but they are doing direct service to you. Some of them are brahmacharis, some of them are sannyasis, but I am a householder. I cannot. Sometimes I give monetary help, while I cannot give you direct service. Is there any particular service I can do? Now, this is such a humble letter. Prabhupada done actually quite a bit. He helped start the Allahabad Center. He helped start the Bombay Center. He showed himself to be an impeccable kavi, poet, so much that his spiritual master said, whatever he writes, print it. So he was already doing, and Siddhanta Saraswati said, you don't have to canvas it. He will do everything himself in due course of time. So Prabhupada wrote this sometime in the first week of December. And then Prabhupada says on December 13th, he got this letter from Puri. Now this is only, less than 3 weeks before the Tirubhav. 2 weeks later, Abhai received a reply. I am fully confident that you can explain in English our thoughts and arguments. Prabhupada says it's so endearing, he said on the tape. So my spiritual master, he wrote me back and said, my dear such and such, I am fully confident that you can explain in English our thoughts and arguments to the people who are not conversant with the languages of the other members. In other words, they don't know Sanskrit, they don't know Bengali, they don't know Hindi, they don't know, Vaishnava songs and Shastra. So the other members, the whole world. This will do much good to yourself as well as your audience. I have every hope that you can turn yourself into a very good English preacher if you serve the mission to inculcate the novel impression of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the people in general, as well as philosophers and religionists. So when the person who was to become Arshila Prabhupada read this, he immediately recognized, this is the same thing that Guru Maharaj said when I was bowing down to him in Okadanga in 1922. It's the same thing. Abhay at once recognized this to be the same instruction he had received at their first meeting in 1922. He took it as a confirmation. There was now no doubt as to the purpose of his life. What his spiritual master had said in Calcutta in 1922 had not been a chance remark, although he was saying it to everyone. Like when Satsang Maharaj, he would give us different assignments to help him compile the Vibhamrita. But he gave himself the onus, he gave himself the assignment of going across the Jalangi and going to the Mutt, where, what's the name of the Mutt? Where His Holiness Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj is delivered. What's the name? Devananda? Gaudiya. Okay. So he gave himself the assignment of interviewing the Sridhar Maharaj. And he asked Maharaj, he said, was it only our Prabhupada that had the order to go preach, you know, in the Western countries, in the English-speaking countries? Electronic devices? Thank you very much. And so immediately, B.R. Sridhar Maharaj said, oh no! Siddhanta Saraswati, he was telling this to all of us, everybody. Because this is what he wants to fulfill the prophecy of Lord Chaitanya. In every town and village, my name will be sung. And also Bharata Bhumite, those who have taken birth, especially those who have taken birth in Krishna's neighborhood, who grow up, you know, hearing Ramayana, Mahabharata, who are familiar with Bhagavad. You must do this. This is the gift of being born in India. You must do the highest humanitarian work. Janma sarthaka kori para upakar. This is the greatest welfare work. And then B.R. Sridhar Maharaj said, but Swami Maharaj, referring to our Prabhupada, he did it. He actually did it. Therefore, Shakti Vesh. And he quoted Krishna Shakti Vinanai Tara Prabhupada. Nobody can do this. Nobody can spread this all over the world unless he's specifically empowered by Lord Chaitanya. So, okay. So this will do much good to yourself as well as your audience. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta passed away from the mortal world on January 1, 1937. Why do you hear in the tape Prabhupada say it? So, on 31st December, 1936, my Guru Maharaj, he passed away. Why does he say that if it says here January 1, 1937? What is this ambiguity? Where does it come from? Anybody know? Because Siddhanta Saraswati actually passed away at 5:30 a.m. before the sunrise on New Year's Day. And in Vaishnava reckoning, the calendar day doesn't begin until the sunrise. So it's both, depending on how you reckon it. You know, by the clock, it was New Year's Day. But by, you know, by the sun, it was still New Year's Eve. Tidbit there. He had been spending his last days reading Chaitanya Chaitamrita and chanting on his beads. When a doctor had visited him, wanting to give him an injection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had protested, why are you disturbing me in this way? Simply chant Hare Krishna, that's all. It's like in our Prabhupada too, when the Kaviraj was trying to give him medicine. There's a Ramanuji Vaishnava, the Kaviraj, at one point. And so Prabhupada said to the Kaviraj, because he knew he was a Ramanuji Vaishnava, that he would know the verse, so he said, Bhagoshadas Chotamanogirama. This is a line from the verse that Prabhupada uses to preface the Krishna Gokha. Vrittatashaya bhagiyamana bhavoshtadas totamano virama kautama shloka gunanubhada kumam virajeta vina pushubna. Who will not hear this? Well, the messages of Krishna are best heard in Parampara, and they are the real medicine, the real Oshadi. Bhavoshadas, Choktam and Over, this is the line quoted in the cup. This is the real medicine that we pour into the ear. Who will not hear this? Except Puman Dura Jetubina Pushuna, except an animal, or one who is killing animals. Pushuna. So Prabhupada said it to the Kaviraj. And the Kaviraj admitted, yes, actually you're right. This is the only medicine. Because materially it was hopeless. You know, Prabhupada had practically no body left. Okay, so this is in, among the last words that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to his disciples that were recorded, that were noted down. I advise all to preach the teachings of Rupa Raghunath, disciples of Lord Chaitanya, with all energy and resources. Our ultimate goal shall be to become the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Sri Rupa and Raghunath Goswamis. You should all work conjointly. There's the word. Prabhupada said cooperate. Same thing. Conjointly. Under the guidance of your spiritual master. You don't replace a founder acharya. The siksha and the diksha gurus who come after the founder acharya represent him, bring their disciples to the founder acharya's missions, a mission, engage them in his mission, and represent his teachings appropriately as times change. You don't replace the founder acharya. Same idea right here. Work conjointly, cooperatively. Under the guidance of your spiritual master, who's not simply a diksha guru, he's a founder of acharya. There's a difference. Okay. As glorious it is to be a diksha guru, there's a qualitative difference when you talk about a founder of acharya. You should all work conjointly under the guidance of your spiritual master with a view to serve the absolute knowledge, the personality of Godhead. You should live somehow or other without any quarrel in this mortal world. He knew it was coming, but he said it anyway for the record. Without any quarrel in this mortal world. Only for the service of Godhead. Do not, please, give up the service of Godhead in spite of all dangers, all criticisms, and all discomforts. Do not be disappointed. For most people in the world do not serve the personality of Godhead. Do not give up your own service, which is your everything and all. Neither reject the process of chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of Godhead. You should always chant the transcendental name of Godhead with patience and forbearance like a tree and humbleness like a straw. There are many amongst you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other desire whatsoever. In his last days, he had remained fully conscious and had given instructions until the end. He had specifically and openly ordered that the affairs of his Gaudiya Math be maintained by a 12-man governing body, which the devotees should select amongst themselves. Finally, he had said, please accept my blessings to you all, present and absent. Please bear in mind that our sole duty and religion is to spread and propagate service to the Lord and to his devotees. At 5:30 a.m. on January 1, he breathed his last. Word very soon reached Abai in Bombay. His immediate response was to cry with grief. No more the joy of an anticipated meeting. No more trips to Calcutta or Vrindavan on the plea of business, just to see the tall, commanding form of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the quote, evangelic angel. This sense of never meeting again was difficult to bear. Philosophically, Abai knew that there was no reason to lament. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had come into the world to execute the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and now it was required that he leave this place and go to another, where he would again engage in the same activity. Yet even armed with this philosophy, Abai felt all alone. This is a very human response. Don't misunderstand when you hear this. that somebody is making Prabhupada out to be an ordinary man, this is a natural response of grief. And it's more glorious when you see how he did respond. The complete response was to become the foremost disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, not in get involved in the fray, in the litigation that ensued for years and decades. Don't misunderstand this. This is the glory of how he actually did respond. He responded as a pure devotee, as someone who was sent by Krishna to become the one who, out of the ashes of his own spiritual master's mission, was obliged and compelled to start a fresh branch. That was Prabhupada's response. And that's not the response of an ordinary man. That's the response of a Nitya Siddha, pure devotee. So when you hear Prabhupada's natural responses, don't misunderstand that it's making him out to be an ordinary man. Yet even, okay, his two great well-wishers were gone, in one sense. His father and now his spiritual master. But he felt grateful that he had received a special mercy, a final instruction, just 2 weeks before his spiritual master's departure. Abhai read his letter again and again. There would not be another. The intimate talks and meetings were now gone, but by this letter especially, Abhai would live in the instructions of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. The letter had come just in time. Now he knew for certain, no matter what anyone else said, how to please his spiritual master and stay linked with Krishna. Following his order, he would conquer the feelings of loss at the disappearance of his most affectionate well-wisher. In Prabhupada's last days, when he was at Bhakti Vedanta Manor, when his body weighed about 60 pounds, and he was sitting there amidst the devotees, and tears were flowing from Prabhupada's eyes practically all the time. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, the late Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he, for 45 minutes, he gave a summary of Prabhupada's preaching to him. And at one point, TKG said, so Srila Prabhupada, he only met his spiritual master maybe 9 times. And then he went on and described some of his preaching exploits. And TKG told how, when he said that, he noticed that Prabhupada started smiling. And then later on, while TKG was speaking about Prabhupada's exploits and glories, Prabhupada interrupted him, as weak as he was. And he said, actually, there was never a time when I was separate from my spiritual master. I could feel his presence all the time. I never not meeting him, never not with him. So it's very sweet. So naturally, the spiritual master disappears, and we read in the, you know, in Prabhupada's books, you know, when Prithu Maharaj left, how Archie grieved, when Malayadvaja left, how Vaidarbhi grieved. This is natural to grieve on one level. But the real response is, what do you do then? Okay. So, okay. Sureshwara Das, you don't have to worry about prasada. You can speak a little more. Just ignore your belly. Is that alright? A little more? Okay. Alright. So let's... Okay, I just want to identify some lessons, infer some lessons, draw some conclusions. Unfortunately, as we know, because of the failure of the disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and yes, if you have to move on to services, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Srila Prabhupada would be very, very pleased if you do your duty and go to your services. And I won't speak much longer, but here's some points, here's some conclusions. Because of their fundamental neglect of the order to work cooperatively, collectively, to really start to manifest, you know, all over the world, Lord Chaitanya's prophecy that in every town and village my name will be sung and heard. As a collective, cooperative mission, it became paralyzed. it effectively dissolved as a collective cooperative mission. It still survives as very nice individual months. We have, especially on occasions of Prabhupada's Abhirbhav, Tirubhav, we have very nice Gaudiya Math devotees coming here and speaking glories of our spiritual master who emerged as the foremost disciple of Siddhanta Saraswati. So it survived as individual months, but it's a collective cooperative mission to manifest the will, the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It became ineffective. So although Prabhupada made it very, very clear to us that we shouldn't, you know, take instructions from his godbrothers of how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he said, it's not your business to criticize them, because they're devotees of Lord Krishna, they're very senior to you, and if they follow our spiritual master, they're going back to Godhead. But he wanted us to learn lessons. Therefore, as early as 1970, 7 years before Prabhupada's own Tirubhav, he started the succession plan. He didn't wait until the end. He was taking these raw recruits, you know, these refugees from the 1960s and 70s counterculture in the West, and he was shaping them into a governing body. At the same time, he was making it very clear in directions of management, and then 4 years later in the amendments to the same directions, that he was the supreme authority in ISKCON. It's to go on collectively, cooperatively, and he is the supreme authority in ISKCON, and the GBC is the ultimate managing authority. This is very nicely represented last summer by the GBC themselves, when they clarified in a paper what it means, ultimate managing authority. And it's very good. Okay, so Prabhupada wanted us to learn from the mistakes of his own spiritual master's mission, and he had to make a very, very heavy decision himself to, at some point, declare himself to be the founder acharya of a fresh branch. We're in the same sampradaya, but wait, this is a fresh branch, this kind. Uniquely empowered by the unique surrender of our founder acharya. Our Prabhupada was uniquely empowered to know how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. One size does not fit all. I bring this verse in purport again up all the time. I gotta raise it again today. If you look in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 105, you see what it takes to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And right at the beginning of the purport, Lord Chaitanya has just told Sanatana Goswami there is a vast difference between Shushka Vairagya, dry renunciation, and Yukta Vairagya, practical renunciation. And Prabhupada starts the purport by saying, the way you spread Krishna consciousness in America is different than the way you spread Krishna consciousness, for example, in a place like India. So you know, we have our issues, we have our debates and our controversies, and, you know, one way we always shoot ourselves in the foot is if we forget this point, that one size doesn't fit all. We find our unity in our diversity, and that's why Srila Prabhupada said that when we come together, especially the leaders come together in Mayapur for the annual general meeting, you make this the theme, you make this the focus. How you can find your unity amidst your diversity. Because the way the life, the teachings, the mood, and the mission are applied in different parts of the world, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same. We have to have the parameters, of course, of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, but we have to discuss how that is applied differently according to time. You see this purport, time, country, candidate. So this is a big lesson. And what and who is that unity amid all our, you know, especially in Mayapur, we experience this incredible diversity. I mean, in my Bhakti Vaibhava Module 2 class, our students, every student is from a different continent. What to speak of country? We have a student from Africa, we have a student from India, we have a student from America, and we have a student from Brazil. Only 4 students. It's a very special class. So that means we're bringing such different prarabdha karmas to the hearing process. That's fine. That's okay. That's natural. That means we have to find our unity amidst our diversity. And who is the unity? That is our founder, Acharya. The life, the teachings, the mood, and the mission of our founder, Acharya. So on this, I'm going to wrap it up now. On this anniversary of the disappearance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I know that the Thakur would be greatly pleased if we can meditate more and more and more on how we can do this, how we can find our unity amidst all our diversity to more collectively, cooperatively, what was that word he used, conjointly spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. This will please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the 6 Goswamis, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Arishin Prabhupada, who is the life and the soul of ISKCON and all of ISKCON's followers. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Ho Brahmani. But if you have to go to a service, please the top or go for it. But if you want to ask a question or have a comment, please raise your hand. And let's let everybody leave first. Go ahead. We do have a microphone. Okay, give an audio dance.
So I heard your Jvala Premada Shubhanuga Bhakti Das. So you said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, part of his mission was to spread Krishna, a type of bhakti that is enriched with the Madhurya Rasa, the rasa of Vrindavan between Krishna and the gopis. So one of the complaints is that why people sometimes leave the ISKCON Association, is that this rasa is somehow the missing ISKCON. Can you make a comment on that or say something about that? Or if it's not missing ISKCON, then how is it manifesting itself?
Preacher Prabhu, would you like to answer that question? As we hear from Arishita Prabhupada, and those who sincerely, seriously, sincerely follow him, every rasa in Golok is imbued with madhura, with a sweetness. This is one of the things I like about when Janani Vas Prabhu gives class, he reminds us of these things. And if we listen to the voice, for me it's the voice, the written word and the spoken word, of our founder of Acharya, there's nothing sweeter, there's nothing more madura than listening to our founder of Acharya speak and reading his written word also. It's all full of it. His body is completely saturated with that. So I think I brought up in a previous class one person saying on a morning walk, feel the Prabhupada. It says in natural instruction that when one becomes advanced in devotional service, he should follow a resident of Vrindavan and perfect his service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada, we think that you're that resident of Vrindavan. And so Prabhupada, you hear him on the tape, he just starts chuckling. Yeah. That's all right. That's all right. So we need go no further. then our founder Acharya, even amongst founder Acharyas, you know, by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis and his own Guru Maharaj, what Prabhupada did, nobody ever did. There's nothing sweeter and there's nothing heavier than listening to and following our founder Acharya. So anybody who says that, that there's no, where's the Madura, where's the sweetness, isn't listening. Listen, as Jesus said, those who have ears, let them hear. Krishna says, touch the doom, just hear. So we have to hear. But if what we hear isn't pleasing to our material desires, we will think that Krishna will give us a million excuses for why we don't want to hear that. You know? And therefore I must criticize what I can't follow. Right? Just to you know, give myself some kind of false self-esteem. I've got to criticize it. Oh, those people are not that right. So whether Prabhupada is scolding us, or he's making us laugh, or making us cry, or whether he's inspiring us, it's all sweet. It's the sweetest thing that ever happened to me with Srila Prabhupada, when he looked at me, so heavy. I told this before, in the stall in Sri Sri Radha Kalachamji in Dallas, he stopped the ceremony, he was sitting under the Vyasasana, and he couldn't, he was trying to get somebody to do something for him, and nobody could understand what he wanted. And then his eyes fell upon me, right above where Janani Prabhupada was sitting. And he looked at me, like, do you know what I want? And I just looked at Prabhupada, and I started grinning. I said, no. Like Prabhupada's looking at me, you know? And he became disgusted. And he looked at me like, you're an idiot. You could never understand what I want in a million years. And so what was my response to that? John, I'm an idiot. Because it was very clear, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you love me, and I'm an idiot, John. And then he just, you know, and it was so sweet. Because there was no, it was stern, it was scolding, he was disgusted in a sense. But it was such compassion, sweet compassion. So if we say that, we're just not listening, you know. And the other side of it is, that Prabhupada would tell us, if somebody leaves your company, it's 50% your fault, right? Because you don't follow, you don't take care of each other. You don't follow these six loving exchanges. You don't do it. So that's the other side of it. So, but when we're really in touch, with our founder Acharya's life teachings, mood, and vision, there's nothing sweeter. That's my experience. Preeta Prabhu, would you like to add something? Nothing more. How sweet it is. And you talk to devotees like Bhakti Churu Maharaj or Tamalka, you can't talk to TKG now, but people who served him intimately, like Abhiram Prabhu. They will tell you that when Prabhupada was scolding them, it was very hard to take. It was like a thunderbolt. But now they remember it, oh, here's the same weekend. You know, that weekend was very stormy in Radha Kalachandra. It was Friday the 10th, September. The installation was on Sunday the 12th. And unauthorizedly, or I better watch my words here because my god sister, Jana Mama, and Mata in Alachua, she has her own version of what happened, but she was the artist who changed, who was repainting Kalachandri without Prabhupada's permission. So Prabhupada called her in and said, why have you done this? And so all Janava could say, I mean, she was very, I think she was maybe 20 years old or something, you know, and she just started crying. But Prabhupada, Bharadraj, I'm your spiritual master, and you're telling me, Bharadraj, why did you do this? So she was like devastated. But now when she tells the story, it's like she's in total ecstasy. Because Prabhupada was giving her so much attention and helping her, you know, grow in Krishna consciousness. So, really, really too hot to bear, but too sweet to resist. Like a rhubarb chutney. A strong Bengali rhubarb chutney. Any last Prabhu, would you like to say? So we will, I've been asked by Sankarshan Nitai Prabhu to announce that there will be a kirtan in the Lotus Park where we had New Year's Eve kirtan, starting at noon, going all the way to 9 p.m. So please come if you can. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur will be grateful, please. Any other questions or comments? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prabhupada Ki Jai.